Good afternoon, welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. On Thursday, this Thursday, we will spend most of the program with Patrick O'Hearn, the author of The Grief of Dads, who will be taking your calls from 5:15 to the end of the hour, 6 p.m. And we invite you to call if you are fathers, husbands and fathers who have experienced the loss of a child, or if you are women who know the story of husbands and fathers who have experienced the loss of a child. So this will be 5:15 Eastern on this Thursday. We invite you to join in and call us. For this segment, continuing our conversation on the passing of our Holy Father, is Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, Catholic speaker and evangelist, founder and director of DynamicDeacon.com, author of Our Life of Service, the Handbook of Catholic Deacons. Deacon Harold, it's so great to speak with you. How are you?
I'm doing well, Dr. Peter. Great to be with you.
It's always a joy to speak with you. I mean, simply in terms of our friendship, but also our shared vision for Christ's call for within the church and our own respective lives. And so I imagine that the heartbreak you're feeling at the passing of the Holy Father is very akin to my own as a spiritual son who has lost a spiritual father.
Yes, you know, the passing of the Pope, you know, because he's the spiritual father of all of us, all of us Catholics, you know, and so it definitely feels like a loss. There's a vacancy, there's an emptiness. If you go to Mass now, you won't hear his name mentioned, you know, and so, yeah, it's a palpable feeling of loss. And, you know, we all should be praying and for the repose of his soul, and that the Holy Spirit will work through the College of Cardinals to elect the new successor of Peter.
Yeah. I love that you highlighted that, because I think that's an important fact. The whole world comes to a standstill when the Pope dies. Everyone's watching Rome now. Everyone's looking to see who the successor of Peter will be.
Yeah, that's right. And it's a wonderful opportunity, again, you know, as sad as these things are, to people to really educate themselves, for us to be able to educate people who are watching, people who are even not people of faith, or just, oh, the Pope's on, what's the church going to do now?
Right.
Especially counteracting like things like that movie Conclave, which
is just.
You know, it's just idiotic. and so we have to counter that, because people think that things like that really happen because they saw it in a movie. And so this is a wonderful catechetical opportunity for us to draw people into understanding the process of what's involved in the Holy Spirit, again, working. The Holy Spirit doesn't elect the Pope, but the Holy Spirit gives grace to those electors to be able to choose someone that's going to really continue the work and mission of the Church.
And so when we consider, for example, the conclave that's coming, we need to understand that it is entirely possible for every one of the cardinals to not obey the Holy Spirit, although that's not likely to happen. That's not what I'm saying at all. In fact, what you highlighted is the Holy Spirit wants to cooperate with our free wills in guiding the church, and this is how God has ordained the growth and continued direction of the church.
Yeah, that's correct. He promised in Matthew 16:18 that the gates of hell will not prevail against it, you know. And so, but again, you're right. And this is a very important point you brought up, Dr. Peter, that because the Holy Spirit works through our free will.
Yeah.
You know, we're free to say yes or free to say no. And even then, when you think about some of the popes from the past, like in the Middle Ages, some of the Borgia popes who were horrible. I mean, as far as morally,
right,
they still never taught anything against faith and morals in the church.
Yep.
So even though they may have been elected with, you know, kind of not the best of motives or intentions, even then, when the electors worked against the will, you know, used their free will to say no, even then the Holy Spirit protected the church. So that's, I think, it's a wonderful safeguard that Jesus guaranteed, so that the church can continue to be the leaven in the world, and really the focus of a well-formed conscience and a moral life that this culture truly, truly needs a witness of.
You know, Deacon Harold, you're probably the best person to comment on the question I'm about to present to you, which is, in your book, Building a Civilization of Love, you talk about how we need to stop seeing color first and start seeing the image of God and the person standing in front of us. It's saddening to see the kind of speculation, almost virtually from the moment his death was announced, the kind of speculation we are seeing about who the next Holy Father will be. And a lot of the speculation is very tainted by modern ideologies. Oh, you know, it's time for this race to become pope or that race. And so nations and races are chiming in. You know, we'd be proud if such and such became a pope. Help us reorient the way we think about and speak about the papacy as a spiritual father.
Well, here's the thing, Dr. Pete. I have a priest friend of mine, a good friend, who used to work for the Congregation for Bishops. Mm. Okay, during under Pope Benedict. Mm-hmm. And so he was one of the people that helped select bishops. And here's he told me this, because I asked him a very similar question, when it came to when it came time to elect Pope Francis. And he said, those who know don't tell, those who know don't say, those who say don't know. So I mean, you can engage in all the speculation you want, but nothing. I mean, that's just what we do as human beings. We're trying to make sense. We're trying to let's put structure. Okay, now this direction we need the church. And what happens? The Holy Spirit does what the Holy Spirit's going to do, and it'll be the person again, that the electors choose, but hopefully working with the grace of the Holy Spirit that'll help guide the church forward. Engage in speculation. Again, we do it with politics. We do it all kinds of things. But we got to remember, the church is not a primarily political organization. It's the locus for the mission of Christ. It's the institution established by Christ to be his visible sign and witness of his love and mercy to the world. It's not a matter of, okay, because we had first Polish pope, first non-Italian pope with John Paul II, we had a German pope, we have Argentinian pope, and now they think, okay, was Africa's turning out? I mean, that's nothing. I mean, it's wonderful, because I think it shows the rich diversity in church, but those kinds of things are not going to figure into the decision ultimately of who becomes pope.
Amen.
And so we shouldn't even go there, actually.
I'm with you, because I think it doesn't matter where the pope comes from. He is my spiritual father. I have no biological heritage to claim to him, but he is still my spiritual father, and that speaks volumes about the covenant family we have in the Catholic Church.
Yes, and that's what it's all about. Jesus is God is inviting us through his son Jesus Christ into a relationship of intimate, personal, loving and life-giving community rooted in covenant relationship, covenant where you make a complete gift of yourself. And that's what the Holy Father represents, a making a gift of himself, not just to Catholics, but to everyone in the world, to be that witness and example of God's love and his mercy. And sometimes that happens through teaching, the teaching, again, which often is countercultural. But the thing is, we are not supposed to act or look like the world. We are in the world, but not of the world. And so we need to stand fast against this ever advancing culture of self-centeredness.
Yeah.
The that worships the Trinity of me, myself, and I. And get back to a proper understanding of a church where it's, again, I often say this, it's when you give yourself away in love is when you truly find yourself in God.
Right.
And that's really the focus of what the church is about.
So we have just about 20 seconds. Can you give us an exhortation about how to pray as we mourn the Pope and prepare for the conclave?
Yeah, so just very simply, I would say, I dedicated my rosary yesterday when I found out. So when I did my rosary, I dedicated it to the Holy Father. But just it's simple, Our Father, Hail Mary, glory be to the Father. And may eternal rest grant him or let perpetual light shine upon that prayer. Just something like that as a way of offering that as a sacrifice acceptable to God the Father.
Deacon Harold, thank you so much, and God bless you for making the time.
Oh, thank you for having me, Dr. P. It's great to be with you.
My guest, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivis, Catholic speaker and evangelist. He's a friend and mentor, big brother, and we share a similar concern. Pray for our Holy Father who has passed, and pray for the new Holy Father to come. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
Spring into mowing season with a new Cub Cadet lawn tractor from Weingarten's. We've been helping families like you.